Hello there, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Wiki Weekdays podcast. I'm your host, Lucas Holland, and today I am joined, as always, by the lovely Carl Smallwood.
Hello, and it's not just another episode, Lucas. This is a special episode.
Well, I was about to say, yeah, I'm not just joined by Carl, I'm also joined by a special guest very soon.
Yes, a special guest from the past, because we recorded this segment a while ago, but we're recording this segment for that segment closer to the day the video releases, but this won't matter if people are listening to or watching this in the future, so the more I talk about it, the more confusing it gets. So Lucas, please cut me off and say something
please
else.
Please stop talking, Carl. It's just, it's fine. Here's another podcast. We're just going to have, you know, a cutaway to a recording where we've already pre-recorded it. But we finally managed to hit our Patreon goal, our first Patreon goal, in fact, and that is to start doing occasional guest episodes. We're hoping to aim to, like, get one out every month if we can, but obviously that's reliant on being able to acquire guests for episodes.
So in that vein, for anyone out there who's listening to this who feels like they'd be a good fit or knows of someone who'd be a good fit for the Wiki Weekdays podcast, you can reach out to us at the links you can find below.
Yeah, we do have an email contact within our links in the description, so if you'd like to let us know about, like, a potential guest appearance, or, like, somebody that you know, or just a channel that you would recommend, maybe, like, for just recommending other channels, go and hit us up over in our Discord, again, link to which you can find below.
And it'd be very handy for helping us, but there are, like, other ones lined up and other people we've got in the pipeline, but the people you tend to reach out to that you want to talk to, who have a specific area of expertise or interest, also tend to be quite busy.
And also just probably have no idea who we are, so I'm essentially, like, cold calling professionals, like, hey, do you know about our podcast? Do you want to be on it? And they're like, ignore. Who the fuck are you? Spam. It's like, okay. So yeah, we're hoping that this will be a success, but, you know, we've already, as you say, got a couple lined up and we're excited about the project going forward, so hopefully you enjoy this episode. But before we, you know, switch over to the episode, we have to do a couple of our regular housekeeping bits.
And that includes our pet of the week, who this week, Lucas, is?
That is, of course, Cinder. And Cinder, there is a lovely picture of Cinder. I will get the description up here that they were sent with the picture. Just says, "Behold Cinder, she enjoys sitting as close to the heat of my computer as she can get away with." And I love the amount of people that post, like, "I need to keep getting my cat off my PC because they just sit on the vents and overheat it."
Yeah, it's and that picture of Cinder is just blurry enough to be, like, incredible. And I love those people. They get photos of, like, their cat that's slightly blurry. And I love when they put, like, the shitpost captions underneath that is, like, full of cheese. Or, like, you know, "This cat is not forklift certified," or something like that. Or, "His ass is not learning." I don't know why those images, like, send my sides into orbit the way that they do. They're always greatly appreciated. And if anyone out there thinks I've got a better, blurrier photo of my pet, you can join our Patreon and submit photos in the Discord link below, as mentioned previously, or you can vote on the one you think should win for next week.
You can, of course. And Carl, we also do another fun thing over in our Discord, and that is deciding which wiki won this week.
Which won't be happening next week, but it did happen for last week, and last week's episodes were, I brought an anime character, and you thought you brought an anime character until you heard about how anime the character I brought was, and you brought Lucas who?
You brought a real person, Carl.
Darren Brown is more anime than any anime.
So I brought Shinso from My Hero Academia, and that is the person who can, like, brainwash people by asking them questions.
And I brought the wiki entry on Darren Brown, who's the real person who can brainwash people by asking them questions.
That's very true. And unfortunately for Shinso, they have not quite made it to be a pro hero just yet, because Darren Brown did win.
Yeah, because Darren Brown, the thing is though, even if he didn't win, he could convince you that he did.
I was going to say, that's how many times did Darren Brown go into our Discord and just hypnotically suggest to people that they need to vote for him?
And you might say, that's stupid, he couldn't do that. Yes, he could. If you're thinking, how could he? Go listen to the episode and decide for yourself.
Well, I literally watched a couple of Darren Brown specials since we talked about it last week, because you mentioned that a lot of them are on YouTube, and pretty much everything is posted for free on his YouTube channel, that just his full episodes and double episodes and stuff. And they literally talked in one of them of, hey, I'm going to hypnotically suggest people in the crowd, I can't show you a full edit of how it works. You've got to just trust me, because broadcasting literally outlaws this process being fully shown in case people end up just zombified on the other end of their TV.
Not to mention as well, like, in today's day and age where you can watch it on YouTube, if someone's watching this when they're not supposed to, like when they're driving their car, I might be responsible, because I will never forget when I watched a documentary about the police cracking down on truck drivers. So, do you know what truck drivers can get away with? Pretty much anything, because they're so high up on the road. So we hired a truck and put like people in it to go see what truck drivers are doing. And the amount of footage they had of truck drivers just watching TV,
yeah,
or eating food, or the one who had a fucking microwave in his thing and was making his dinner while driving a truck.
That doesn't surprise me. And like, I can only imagine the amount of truck drivers that have those little, like, portable TVs and are just watching, like, sports all day long or something.
Or Darren Brown.
Or Darren Brown of just, oh, you're feeling like you're getting very heavy and falling asleep, and the truck driver's like, okay, sure. Just
there's a Fraser Crane around. Joke about that in the show Fraser, where it's like, it's one of those great jokes where it's like, you only hear the second half. It's like, yeah, when I told you to close your eyes and visualize being in a safer place, you didn't tell me you were calling from your car phone.
Oh dear, oh dear. But yeah, Darren Brown was the winner for last week, and as you mentioned, Carl, this week's podcast, there won't be a question of who is the winner, because we just like to pick one wiki that is helped found with the help of our guest, of just an area of expertise that they have.
Oh, yeah, or just an area of interest or something they feel particularly strongly about.
Yes, I use expertise in a very loose sense of, like, I, for example, could call myself an expert on Pokemon. I'm not, like, a certified Pokemon expert, but I've experienced that game to a point where you could say I'm more knowledgeable on that subject than 99% of other people.
Probably more knowledgeable than 99% of the universe of Pokemon, because there's people in that universe called Pokemon professors who don't know what Pokemon are.
Oh god, it's incredible how much, like, the anime just makes every single person have to be an absolute moron, because everyone needs to be an exposition machine, right? Of like, oh my god, what's that Pokemon? It's like, that's a fucking Pidgey, they're everywhere.
Yeah, imagine like going to like an ornithologist and he's like, just seeing him lose his shit because there's a sparrow on his windowsill. He's like, what is this? So when you watch Yu-Gi-Oh, isn't it? And Yu-Gi-Oh's title is The King of Games, and in the first episode he doesn't know what a trap card is.
Yeah.
It's like one of three cards you complain he doesn't know what the fuck it is. Great.
What do you mean, Pot of Greed? What does that card do? Man, but yeah, obviously, again, that's just because, A, they're trying to explain things to the audience, and B, the audience are also children, so they have to hammer the point home over and over again to make sure, hey, five-year-old child that's barely watching this as they, like, ram action figures together, this is what a Pikachu is.
Yeah. And just in regards to Yu-Gi-Oh, it's like, hell yeah, it gets better as it goes on. The more bullshit
it gets.
It's just
that compilation of, like, watching people explain what Pot of Greed does.
The single most broken card in the game.
Yes. Now, it's just a free card.
There's never a reason not to play it.
Mm-hmm.
It's the perfect card. Never forget, like, one of Yugi's mates plays a card that lets you discard three cards to do 800 damage, and they discard a Pot of Greed. And it's like, what are you doing, you fucking idiot? Teo,
but they had a Sangan, Carl.
Teo, you are not the king of games.
And you know, Carl, you know in your, like, true heart of hearts, in the heart of cards, you could say, that Maneater Bug is the top tier.
Maneater Bug, the amount of people who get mad at us for saying that, I'm like, well, actually, Maneater Bug's not been relevant for ages. Like, I'm sorry, I'm 30. I watched the first season.
It's like, did you know there's actually Noble Maneater Bug? Yes, but they suck because you've got to put a tribute in for them.
I say the same joke every single time. If I'd been there at the start of the universe when God said, let there be light, and I went, actually, no, trap card.
Maneater Bug,
which I know is an effect card, but the joke still stands.
Yeah.
We could talk about that all day, and no doubt we'll do in the future, as we have done in the past. But I guess, is it time to introduce ourselves from the past and our special guest?
I guess it's just time to say, you know, of course, comment and like if you enjoy the format, and let us know how we might be able to like change things to better it in the future, because obviously this is our first couple of attempts of doing this. We have you know, recorded two before putting any of them out. So just let us know what you think of this podcast, you know, guest podcast format, and how we can change things up. And I guess also just, you know, the usual of like subscribe, support us on Patreon, go hit us up in the Discord, things like that. Just ways that you can support us, of course. This literally wouldn't be able to happen if it weren't for the people supporting over on Patreon. So
also be sure as well to go and check out the links that support our guests for, you know, very nicely volunteering their time, their expertise on a subject.
Yeah, and you say volunteer their time. They literally did volunteer their time because they are somebody that represents a charity, and they asked us to donate the money for their appearance fee to the charity that they support instead.
Yes, which we will be doing when this episode is released, and we will be posting the receipt for that in our Discord, right? Because I don't think I was going to say Twitter. And I thought neither of us use Twitter anymore.
We haven't actually talked about how we're going to show that. So, you know what? That's tomorrow's problem.
It's tomorrow's problem. If you go to the Discord, you will see proof of us like donating their appearance fee to the charity which they help represent. Because hey, that's a nice thing to do.
But yeah, without further ado, here's past Carl and Lucas.
Introduce ourselves.
Yay!
Hey, past Carl, get a haircut. So thank you to future Carl and Lucas for introducing this segment. And we're here with a special guest, Jayla. And would you like to introduce yourself to the folks at home and explain to them why we've invited you on? Because you have numerous expertise and things you'd like to plug and or promote, yes?
Hey, I'm Jayla Ree. I'm the executive director of New Jersey Red Umbrella Alliance, which is a nonprofit organization that fights for the human rights of sex workers based in New Jersey, but our reach is global. And I'm here to talk about The Sims.
Yeah, so I've had you on as a guest on Fact Fiend a couple of times now, and every time you introduce yourself, it's like the most important sounding stuff. Let's talk about a dumb video game thing.
When you deal with all the stuff I have to deal with in my position, the best thing you could do is veg out in front of a very escapist video game.
Yes, and The Sims is that. So today's wiki will be The Sims video game, just the first one, but I believe that will serve as a jumping off point for a conversation about the series as a whole, because you might be one of the foremost experts on The Sims, at least that I'm aware of.
Well, I mean, I haven't published anything about it. Actually, that might be a lie, because I did in college publish something, but I'm pretty sure that publication is now defunct, and I don't remember the name of it. It was about digital blackface and ethnic overseeing in video games, and I did talk about The Sims. But I have been playing The Sims. It came out February 2000, and I got it for a gift in April of 2000. So I've been there from the beginning, and I've played not every iteration of The Sims, because if after you go through this wiki, you're just seeing that there are so many iterations of The Sims. But I played all the mainline series, a lot of the handheld, a lot of the console entries. So I'm well versed in the facts and lore of The Sims because I'm an old bitch and I've been playing this game for 25 years.
Okay, so I'm trying to think now, is there a game I've been playing for longer than that? And I guess it might, I think Lucas, me and you, it would be Smash Bros, right? That might be the game we've probably played the most. Like, together at least. And then for me, it'd be Tekken, because I played every single Tekken game from the start. And I'm, like, weirdly deep on the lore of Tekken and Mortal Kombat to the point where I know so much about Heihachi. I know more about Heihachi's family, like, tree than I do about my own.
Yeah. As I'd say, the only game I've played longer is probably Mortal Kombat.
God, Mortal Kombat. You come for the gore, you stay for the lore. But yeah, so what's your familiarity with The Sims then, Lucas? Because mine is I played the first game. I played The Herbs on DS. And then think I might have played like the pet expansion, because there's a viral tweet I made over a decade ago now about when I downloaded The Sims and accidentally got like every expansion pack and accidentally made a child go insane because I made them as clean as possible and all the cats from the neighborhood get pissing in the lawn. And I was just documenting how this kid was outside with all of their bars red intermittently mopping up pee from cats and crying as all the cats just meowed at them. And that went viral. Like, it's one of the first things I ever had go viral. What's your feeling with The Sims, Lucas?
Weirdly enough, like, the one that I kind of got my feet wet with was The Sims busting out.
Oh, no.
And it's like The Sims 2, but it's on the GameCube instead, and it's like slightly altered to make it more of like a progression in like a storyline where you move from family to family. But basically, yeah, I played the bad like console version of Sims 2 to start with, and then I've kind of played like a bit of Sims 3 and quite a bit of Sims 4. And I do have to ask as well, Jayla, just like, for Christmas, my partner got the My Sims bundle of like the two My Sims games. Are they worth checking out?
So I loved My Sims because it's very kid friendly. Obviously, that's the demographic, but it is very like cozy. It does give like kind of Animal Crossing vibes almost.
Mm-hmm.
But it's something that I usually introduce like the littles in my life to, because I don't want them trying to play My Sims because it's full of sex, filth, and debauchery now.
As but it should very, be, right?
It's a very cozy game. It's very enjoyable.
It's like virtual Barbie dolls. What's the first thing people do with a Barbie doll? It's they undress them, right? See what's going on down there.
And the answer for The Sims is not much.
And exactly, it's the same for The Sims, right? There's not much there, but you can mod it to get more stuff in. But this being Wiki Weekends, we'll now go through the wiki. So The Sims is a social simulation video game developed by Maxis and published by Electronic Arts, in 2000. The game allows players to create and control virtual people called Sims and manage their daily lives in a suburban setting. And there's just something weirdly compelling about The Sims, and like, the simplicity of the first one is what always brings me back to it, because there is no goal, and some people don't like that, but
there is a goal.
Okay, what is the goal?
It's not implicitly stated. So what I love about the design of The Sims 1, the way you have the first neighborhood, like when you first launch into the game, what's the first thing it does? It gives you like this cool view of the neighborhood. And it shows you like the starter houses, and then it pans over to like the big house on the hill, kind of telling you like that's the goal. So
that was never my goal. My goal was to just marry my neighbor's hot wife, Bella. It's like, Mortimer, no, Bella Goth is mine.
You are not alone in that one. But I love it. Like, it's very what The Sims excels at. A lot of people now disagree, but I still think even in the most recent iteration of The Sims, what it excels at is giving players so much freedom, but still guiding them towards, you know, some type of narrative, which is, you know, you're building, you're going to go from a simple house, the more successful you get, the more friends you get, the more, you know, job opportunities you get to move to the big hill, big house on the hill.
And look down at those peons, right? You look down at the paupers, the poor Sims, just rolled in from Sim City, coming the burbs.
Yeah, yeah. But I always loved, I don't know if you guys ever read some of Will Wright's writing on The Sims. So what he was doing, like, there's a story of, like, you know, his house burned down, and he kind of got the idea from starting from scratch, like, what it was like to build a life. But he also was looking at things like, you know, this is in the pre-tech, well, it's post-tech boom, and he would see how easy it was for people to get really attached to, like, inanimate objects, but like robots, yes, or things like that. So he realized that, like, there's like a metagame in The Sims, which is, it's kind of like when you look in the eyes of an animal and it's not really reflecting anything at you, but what you're putting into what you think the animal is putting into you is what you're getting out of it. And that is a lot of The Sims, which is something that I think is just really cool, because it's kind of like the game's playing you, because it knows how humans react.
We did cover the Sims series as a whole, not one specific game, a few months ago. And something that we learned in that is that it was a deliberate piss take of capitalism, which is why there is an arbitrary stat in the game called room that you increase by just buying expensive things that serve no other purpose than making your sim feel better in a way they can't really describe. And it's up there with like sleep, like food and companionship. Your sim just needs to have expensive objects in their house, otherwise they're sad for reasons they can't explain.
Yeah. And also the corners, how many corners are in a room? So
I know you can min-max it, right? Is it just if you put as many corners in your room as possible and put a window on every single one, right?
Yeah.
Your sim's
it's
happy.
It's going to be a better... The room score will be better.
That's a thing?
Yeah.
Yeah. What's one of those, like, hidden... Yeah, it's like one of those hidden mechanics you can kind of, like, use to massage the game, because obviously the game never explains it to you, but once you understand it, you can min-max the hell out of it by just making just octagonal rooms all the time.
I've never heard of this before. That's great.
Isn't that weird? That's cool, right? Just the more corners in a room mean your sim's happy. Why they don't now? Corners are great.
I mean, I guess it's like not entirely wrong that the more windows in a room, the happier people generally are with the room.
I will be honest, like, it's one of the most like depressing places I ever lived. It was when I lived in a box room and it didn't have a window. And my housemates had a dog, and every day I'd come in from work at 3 a.m. and step in dog shit. And it was like, I'll be honest, my room store was pretty low when I lived there. But my money was like slightly higher because it cost no money to live there.
Yeah.
I can't really exist in rooms without windows because if you can't tell by my love of the simulation game genre, I'm a tad neurospicy, which is actually how I got to graduate without having to take a math class, because they were giving me this test, but they stuck me in this room with no windows, and then they forgot about me, and I was in there for 17 hours.
Oh my God.
Yeah, overnight. I
have a similar story to that, but it's not nowhere near as harrowing. Mine was, I moved schools, which meant I moved, not jurisdictions, but different parts of the UK have like different testing systems. And I was still on the old system. So they had to send in a special test for me from the old system that I was taught under that had less time. And I remember like I only had an hour, whereas everyone else had an hour and a half. And after the hour, I tried to leave, got told to sit down, stuck my hand up, shut up. And then the head teacher walked in. First thing he did was look at me, what's he doing in here? And, like, the tin pot dictator dinner lady was in charge of a test. Like, we tried to stand up. He should have stand up. He could have failed his GCSEs because of this. Get out! And he had to come up after me and went, so you left after an hour, didn't you? And I went, no. You left after an hour, didn't you? Yeah, I did. But fortunately, I wasn't trapped in a room for 17 hours.
God, yeah. Carl got held back a few years. He doesn't like to talk about it very often.
I'm just not thinking
that. I was trapped in that room for 17 hours, and then they was like, it was a math test. So they're like, you can only have your graphing calculator. No clock on it. But they're like, oh, but there were computers in those rooms. You could just turn on the computer, and it would have told you the time. I'm like, that would have been cheating. I would have failed the test.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so no, I didn't have a clock.
That is one of those things that happen when you're a kid, isn't it? It's like, oh, I feel like I should leave, but no one's told me to. And I don't want to fail.
I got told a very specific set of instructions of like, I'm not allowed clocks, I'm not allowed to leave the room. I guess I'm just here now.
Yeah, and the room only had four corners. It sucked.
I was not a child. This happened to me in 2009.
God.
I was just like, well, I guess I live here.
That's bad. So let's move on, shall we? The game features an open-ended gameplay where players can choose their own goals, objectives, and customize their sim's appearance, personality, skills, relationship, and living environment. And I remember the way I started every game of The Sims, I'd move to the empty lot, and I'd just put a toilet on the lawn. I was like one of the, do you like, you sometimes see like those pictures on Reddit of like male living spaces and they've got like a PC and a mattress on the floor. That was my house in The Sims for so long. Because, well, what else do I need, right? Toilet on the lawn, a bed.
Yeah, you've got everything you need, Carl. You're not wrong.
But in The Sims 1, you needed a phone and an alarm clock.
I would have like a build a single wall and toilet on one side, phone stuck to the other side, and then like a table that had like a PC on it and a thing. Because that's all I needed. So it costs money to like buy carpet. I'm not spending money on carpet. When I eventually got around to building walls, I won't have carpet or a roof. It costs money.
That's one of the most like typically manly things you've ever said, Carl. Is just I'm not spending money on carpet.
Well, it's like one of my favourite Vice articles is why do so many men have one sad yellow pillow? And just that is such a specific line. It's like, it's true, right?
Yeah.
Oh, so I'm guessing, Jayla, your Sims, yeah, your Sims must have lived in far more luxury than mine.
Yeah, well, because I came from The Sims from their other franchises, which was like Sim City, Sim Ant, Sim Apartment. So I was already very into it. It's like I need to build things and expand. Like, one thing that weirdly I got into because of The Sims is architecture, mm-hmm. which worked out because I ended up working at several architecture firms.
I've heard that a lot. A lot of people just there's something about the building aspect. They prefer the building and design aspect than to the actual playing in The Sims. Like, there's people who will build houses and then not even bother living in them, right? Because they just enjoy the aspects of building their perfect or recreating.
Unfortunately,
where they live.
I'm rubbish at building, but I do appreciate the
aspect
of
me?
The game.
Does your toilet, is it in a bathroom or is it just on the lawn?
I do want to torture my Sims, so I would say I'm a hair better.
They're pooping outdoors. It's the most freeing sensation ever.
I disagree. I don't even eat outdoors. I refuse.
Yeah.
But I loved building different types of houses, and I started learning about like different types of architecture. So I'd be like, oh, I'm going to have like a brutalist medieval castle and try to like mix and match. And that was one of the first things I really loved about this.
I remember my most recent build was doing one of those where, you know, you give everyone the basic like bed, a shower and toilet in a room and then lock them away and like
everyone's
make them do challenges
like,
to a lot more.
Everyone's first student apartment, right?
But like I started doing it so that instead of taking up space on my small lot, I stopped building all of the rooms underground and I was like, how far down does this let you go? I was like 10 stories down or something.
We see that's a real thing though.
Six stories.
Yeah, that's like an actual thing. So in London, do you know, like the really expensive like roads? There's so many rules about building extensions or upwards because there's a load of like covenants about you're not allowed to affect the facade of the building because they're all listed. And what they do instead is they just build like three stories down and they just bring in like a firm who will just like carve out the inside of a house. There's a documentary about it on YouTube you can find of like just, yeah. And the funny thing is like all the people who live there, like, well, I can't live here because my neighbor's literally got a wrecking crew in digging three stories downwards indoors because you can't ever have the stuff outside, but they're rich enough, like, well, I don't care.
And I bet, like, renting out one of those just flats three stories down underground is still probably, like, £2,000 a month.
Well, one of the funniest, when I was looking to buy the place I live now, one of the ways I would keep myself sane is by looking up the equivalent place in London.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, what could I get for how much what it cost here? Oh, I could live in someone's front room.
Oh, it's not good.
What about in The Sims? I've been building a floating house. So do you ever do that, Jayla, like the floating house?
So in, I think it's Sims 3, you can build like houseboats. Uh-oh. And they completely float. Sims 4, you can build on the water, so you just have like the, like I guess the stilt kind of things, and okay. you don't have like traditional foundation, but if you have like a beach, you could just build out into the water. I really love doing those. And I really love, I like building like mid-century modern houses that have like the open courtyard where you can then sink it in and make that into like a little oasis thing.
Doing that. When you see like those images of like old houses with like the conversation pit. I'm like,
yes, the 1970s carpet. I love building those, which you can now do because the, I think it was with the Snowy Escape expansion with Sims 4, they added the ability to do like split level housing and like different depths and heights within the structure of your house. Oh, God, I love it.
Yes, yeah, so I used to live in a place that had that. Do you remember that, Lucas? Cool. I lived in that converted church.
Oh, yes, yeah.
But it had, like, the split level into the bathroom, and I fell over that shit every day. Because it was, like, hardwood floor all the way throughout, but when you're drunk, or just, like, getting a cup of tea, every day there was a cup of tea. Like, the wall, the white, obviously the landlord's special, the pure white wall, had, like, 5 cups of tea down it by end of year, because the amount of times I'd just trip over the split level, just deck it ass over tip.
Kind of funny, because you know the house that I put your Sims in?
Yes.
For the 25th anniversary, they did a refresh where they redid all the houses in the base game, 2 base game worlds. And one of the things they added to that house is 2 of the bathrooms are split-level bathrooms.
That sounds like the most dangerous thing ever, right? There's 2 things I wouldn't want to see if I went into a bathroom. One would be a step. The other one would be carpet. I don't know which one's worse, because one of them, I'm going to slip and die. The other one, I don't want to step on it at all. Because yeah. I remember like my auntie used to have carpet in her bathroom. And I was just like, no.
It's so gross.
Who thought of that?
I think it was the 70s, and the Coke was just real pure back then.
It must have been. It's so ridiculous, right?
When they were just doing any old thing.
When I said floating house, I mean you could build a floating house in the first Sims. If you built like the pylons or the towers and stuff, you could build a house on there, then you could sell all of the pylons. So your house would be floating in midair. And
so
I remember doing
do
that
to
stop burglars.
Tree house hack.
Yeah, so you can make the house float. So once you deleted all the pylons underneath the house, it'd be floating in midair. And I thought, well, that'll stop burglars getting in. Because what I did is when my Sims went to sleep, I'd get my staircase and I'd turn it like at a right angle so no one could get in. I remember a thief came and he stole the staircase. And it's just, you kind of have to. And my Sims just couldn't get to work. They got fired because I couldn't afford a set of stairs to get them downstairs. So they were just trapped in their floating house, slowly starving to death.
Yeah, that is one thing that I really want them to put back into the Sims franchise. The burglar. They took the burglar away.
He got stolen by a burglar.
The thing, they should have put more burglars in, because as the economy gets worse, they should edit it so more burglars come in.
What they did for the Sims 4 for Rent, which I think is the second to last, maybe third to last expansion, you can break into people's houses, but not to steal, to like snoop and find out their secrets, which I think is way creepier.
Yeah, I'd rather someone steal like my TV than come in one day and my laptop's open and they've just looked at my emails.
Yeah. I miss the burglar with the music.
Which you should be so mad, right? You'd have like the speeding ultra and it'd slow down and you're like, oh crap, no, call the police, and your Sim won't wake up.
Which, one of the first expansions that they had for The Sims 4 was Get to Work. And in Get to Work, you can have an active career in law enforcement. So I'm like, you had the chance to put the thieves in the game because you're catching quote-unquote criminals, but they're not like active in the world.
But so the thief was such a great part of The Sims, to the point where I'm looking at the wiki page for the first Sims game, he's on the cover.
Yeah.
Like, and he's wearing his the classic, like, you know, like burglar look of the striped vest, the domino mask, and the swag bag with a simoleon symbol on it.
Mm-hmm.
And they took him out.
weirdly enough, Sad Clown still going strong in the same franchise.
Tell Lucas about Sad Clown. Lucas does not know about the Sad Clown lore of The Sims. Lucas, do you know about Sad Clown lore?
Like, there's like a Sad Clown painting, right?
That's... Yes, but there's lore.
So basically, the Sad Clown painting is like this haunted painting about a clown who basically failed at being a clown so hard that he, like, I assume died from just sheer talentlessness, and his soul possessed a painting. So if you have the painting and you're super sad, the clown will come out of the painting and just be depressed at you aggressively.
What? I remember when you mentioned this in a video for Fact Fiend, and I looked up a clip, and the clip that I found is the sad clown stopping your sim from saving themselves from a burning house by just crying at them, and he just stands in the way as they both burn to death, and it's like...
And the only way to get rid of the sad clown in the original Sims is to set the painting on fire. So you have to destroy your home to get rid of the sad clown.
And to be fair, if I was being haunted by a clown, I'd do that.
Yeah.
Well, then originally, why is the sad clown then stops you getting out of the burning house?
So they patched in the clown catchers because that kept happening.
They patched that in, but not the burglars.
Oh god, that's so good.
Just clown wrangler. Oh man, in my head, that's the most dangerous job in the sim world. There's no job more dangerous than that one. Of just the clown catcher, it's like, oh god, no. Like, they are like the most hardened special forces looking SOBs in the entire Simoleon universe. It's like, we've got to go get a clown. The immortal sad clown.
To look up what a clown catcher looks like.
Just the fact
they're
that has to be
just
put in.
Guys in a uniform, and then they just nab him and like walk him gently off your lot.
That's one of the things about The Sims, like the sense of humour. But we continue now with the wiki. The game's development was led by one Will Wright. You mentioned he's like read. Have people written books about this guy, right?
Several.
Because, like, sounds like an interesting individual, maybe a topic for another day. And the game was a follow-up to Wright's earlier Sim City series, which I do like Sim City. I like that you can just, put up the taxes and cause a tornado. I will be the mayor/leader that conspiracy theorists think exists of, I control the weather now.
It's like in the SimCity for SNES, I believe there's like, isn't it like there's like a giant robot that can just come in and like stampede the entire thing?
Yeah, the robot. Though, what is very funny, well not funny, but one thing I remember from being a little girl playing SimCity 2000, SimCity 3000, is if you kept on like deleting the trees, they'd be like, hey, you probably don't want to do that. And it basically told me or taught me about like why you don't remove vegetation, because it won't control like wildfires. Because Will Wright has a long history of fire really
messing up his life. I'm sure a lot of people could empathize right now.
And I feel like there's a whole generation of people who are now in charge of like life who played these games. And then America right now, as we were recording this, on fire because they didn't listen and cut down the damn trees and didn't do controlled burns. So Will Wright tried to save us.
Well, that's one of the things. Like, the game is like weirdly realistic in that sense of it. There's some sillier aspects like, yeah, sure, you can like get attacked by UFOs and stuff, but the actual systems do kind of make sense. For example, like, hey, if you can build coal power plants, they are a lot cheaper. They're really inefficient, and occasionally they'll blow up.
Yeah, and your citizens mass will get pollution. Super sick.
Yeah, and your Sims all have lower life expectancy living nearby, but it's cheaper, and you can just put low income housing next to these, and people are forced to live in them. It's like, oh yeah, that's kind of fucked up.
I saw as well, like, for context, we were all recording this like middle of January 2025, so like, you know, bad things are happening in LA right now, and I saw people talking about like, well, there's war in the ocean right there, just use that. And it's like, so your plan is to salt the earth It's like, okay, yeah, that sounds like a great idea.
I think people are now figuring out just how bad the American school system is.
Yeah, so why don't we just like throw salt water onto arable land? No, my favourite are the pictures of the houses that have survived. It's like, what's this house is magic. It's like it's made of concrete. Or like the one that absolutely just sent my site into orbit is like, why are the roads not catching on fire? With the community note on Twitter that just says concrete. It's like, I wonder why the trees are burning and the roads aren't.
Oh, God.
Because I think if the fire's hot enough for the concrete to start burning, you should probably get out of there. But there wouldn't be a person with a camera.
Regardless.
The camera would be melting.
Yeah. Oh, God. I mean, hopefully everything gets better over there soon, but God damn.
Yeah, the Sims tried to warn everyone. Because that was one of the things you could do as
well.
Right,
literally made several games talking about, like, hey, don't do this. And then we did the thing.
I think the most brutal thing you could do in The Sims, though, and the game tells you can do it, because you know, like, in the Sim City games, you'd have, like, the environmentalist, the person who was about making money, then you'd have like the dickhead person who was like, yes, just do the evil stuff to make more profit.
Mm.
The advice he would give you is build power plants on the borders of your city so that half the pollution goes into neighbouring cities. And if you kept doing that, your neighbours would be really mad. Right? That's a thing you could do.
So they made that a feature in the very ill-fated SimCity, the SimCity 4, where they wanted to be constantly online, like that was like a feature.
Topic for another day. That's like an entire episode unto itself. But yeah, that was that feature going
to
be next.
You want to talk about disastrous game launch?
Yeah, that's it. That's up there.
Even though the Sims franchise is not immune to disastrous game launches,
it is not now.
The Sims 3.
Yeah,
I was so mad when Sims 3 launched because. As a gift to myself, you know, I was in college I was in high school for The Sims. That was like my entire high school career for like the length of that game. And then in college, when I was finally making my own money, I could buy The Sims 2. So I got like every expansion for The Sims 2. And then they announced The Sims 3. So I'm like, obviously, I'm going to want it. So I took my little cheapy coins and I got the deluxe edition, which was $100 in like 2009 money.
Yeah, but that's infinite replay value, right?
It should have been.
There's so much video game there.
So they delayed it several times. So I had to sit and wait, and I've already paid in full because it was what you did at the time. I know there's probably people listening who are not ancient like I am, but used to get video games in like a brick and mortar store, and they write your name on a little piece of paper after you gave them their paper money. And then they would check a big book when the game came out and gave you your physical copy of the game. That's what we had to do. Because I lived in the Iron Age. And
we had to do that too, right? I imagine, Lucas, you've got experience doing that. I did that for Halo 3.
I can vote.
Like, definitely did it for Halo 3, but like the shops over in the UK normally just asked for like a £5 or £10 deposit, depending on what version of the game you were getting. Didn't ask for like full payment up front, but
because the deluxe edition, you got the guide, the Prima guide, which RIP Prima guides, you still love them.
I used to collect them.
A little USB that looked like a green plumbob, and you could put it in your machine, and it came with some of the music on it, which The Sims 3 had some of the bangiest bangers of The Sims music franchise.
We've called that on Fact Theme before. Like, they get actual artists into the studio to record Simlish versions of their songs.
Yes.
And I was surprised at the range of artists they got, because a couple of them made sense. Like, okay, Katy Perry, she likes The Sims. Like, Paramore. But it's like, Rise Against.
But
it's like, wait, what,
they
Rise
also
Against?
Also like The Sims. Like, the reason why My Chemical Romance was not on the Twilight soundtrack is because they decided to come back to LA and re-record Na 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 in Simlish for The Sims.
I did not know that song was in Simlish. I'm going to have to listen to that.
There's like Simlish
it
albums.
Is,
I recommend
amazing.
Them. They're great. It's one of the cool things about The Sims franchise that it has so much pull that they can get serious artists into the studio. And you probably know about this, Angela, with Simlish. Even though it's a nonsense language, it's been out so long, it does have rules.
Yes. And they do correct the singers, right? It's kind of like an omnibus of languages, because it sounds like gibberish, but it sounds specifically like every other language.
Yes.
So it doesn't sound like any specific language, but it kind of sounds like all of them.
Yeah, there's a. I'm not sure the specificities of like the phonetics of language and how they hit the ear, but it was specifically designed to always trigger something. And like, I recognize that in the majority of listeners. So it's like got elements of multiple different languages in there.
It still lives in my head rent free, where I saw a video of someone speaking Japanese but in a Valley Girl accent and making it sound like Simlish.
It's good because when you mention that, the clip I found is there's a. I think it's Jared Alonge. He's a parody singer, but he does really good, very faithful parody pop punk songs. And it's like, I think it's like Sunset Kids or something like that. I'll have to double check, but he did an album of pop punk songs in Japanese, so he sings the Japanese with the pop punk accent, and he's got like Misery Business and I'm Not Okay in Japanese, and they're really good. I'll double check. We couldn't continue about the Sims 3 launch, because this was disastrous.
So
yes,
disastrous Sims 3 launch. So it's I pay for it in full in 2008. The game does not come out until 2009. Almost, well, it was like summer because I finally graduated, you know, because they kept me captive. And when it launched, it was a big deal that it was like, oh, you could play this on a Mac and a PC. So I'm like, okay, I guess that's worth a couple extra dollars. But it was also one of the first big EA games to require a launch day patch. Which, this sounds so run-of-the-mill. It's like, yeah, of course, launch day patch. Like, that was not the case in 2009. So I had just graduated from college, and The Sims 2, because I had every expansion, I overclocked my PC to be able to run The Sims 2 with every expansion. And because I had a really dinky Dell Inspiron, which, if you look it up, not the best constructed computers. So the power and the main fan for like the power supply main fan, the main fan, after you like overclock it, overheated, burst into flames. Set my dorm room on fire. But when I sent my computer to be fixed, which my college did fix for free, because they thought it was their fault that my computer burst into flames.
To be fair, there was like a sad clown crying in the doorway as well. So that was a huge liability issue, right? Like,
it was me. It fried part of the... it basically, my ability to get Wi-Fi got fried when they fixed it. And I did not realize this because the whole time I was in school, I had that, connection. Because Wi-Fi also not as widely ubiquitous today. So when I finally graduated and took that really shit computer home, I realized, oh, where I am, just Wi-Fi. So I can't connect to the internet. So I have this $100 game that I bought, finally put it in my thing. I can't play it. I can't play it because I can't get that like first day patch, which the game will not operate no matter how many codes you have, whatever. It won't operate without that patch. So after calling EA, like on the phone, waiting several hours, because obviously I wasn't the only one with this problem, they're just like, oh, well, do you have another computer? And I was like, yeah, I have a MacBook. He's like, well, just play it on your MacBook. And let me tell you, nobody had a gaming MacBook back in the day.
I don't think anyone's got one now, to be fair.
Yeah, like, Macs and gaming, not synonymous for a reason. And playing The Sims 3 on that dinky-ass MacBook looked like I was playing it through a veil of farts. It was disgusting. And I was like, I'm not going to live like this. I paid $100. Make it work. And they wouldn't. They were just like, what do you want us to do? Send you the patch? I'm like, can you do that? Is that an option? It's just like, a
why
file.
Would you suggest
so
this? Yeah.
You actually can do that. And they said no. And I did end up playing The Sims 3, but it was not. I never played at all until years later. I was so pissed. I stopped playing EA games. Like, I would not touch them for 5 years.
Multiple studies have been done if it takes like one bad experience to put someone off a product and or service for basically ever. Have you got any stories like that, Lucas? Because there's a couple for me. It was like just a pub I used to go to. I went there all the time. I used to live literally next door to it. Remember the pub that we used to live next door to?
Mm-hmm.
Used to go there all the time. And then one time I walked in with an old ex-girlfriend. And just when I went to ask the guy, oh, can we get a drink? I went, hang on, I'm still talking to this customer here. And it was his friend. He just talked to his friend for 5 minutes and was like, no, we just want to get some menus. That's okay. Hey, don't interrupt me. Don't talk to me like that. Never been back since.
Yeah.
Just...
I mean, I was just going to go back to, like, the launch of The Sims 3 of, like, you went through all of that and then you had the other problem of you had to play The Sims 3 at the end of it all.
I barely, and you know what? You want to know what really pisses me off? You want to know what that launch day content they had to patch into the game that was so goddamn important? Kim
like...
Kardashian in a freaking sweater dress and crappy thigh high boots. That is what they needed to patch into the game. My
the
access
game won't run
to...
without Kim Kardashian.
Yeah, so. I was very dead. Literally, it took me... I was still mad at The Sims 3. So I didn't play The Sims 3 until The Sims 4. And then I didn't play The Sims 4 until... Ooh, which expansion? Until the Get Famous expansion came. And then I fell back on the wagon pretty hard. So
yeah, I mean, The Sims 4 has, like, grown a lot with its community over the years. But, like, Sims 3 had a... really mm-hmm. bad like amount of content compared to mm-hmm. Sims 2 at launch, and then Sims 4 was a rough start, and now like they've unveiled a bunch of stuff for like the new Sims game and everyone was like, oh no, this does not look good.
I do not speak of Project Renee. I'm just happy it's not The Sims 5. But when The Sims 4 launched, because it was supposed to be like a multiplayer thing, it was so scaled back. Like, they didn't have toddlers, they didn't have pools, they didn't have ghosts.
It's the fact
they,
you pick those
like,
two
so many...
options in a row as almost you think they were connected. It's like, does that toddlers kept falling into pools or something?
Well, because they couldn't figure out, I guess, at what like things we take advantage of, like the mirrors, how the Sims like mirrors work in the Sims 4, like just like mirrors, not exactly how it worked at launch. Like, they were kind of like murky and you had to have like super high-end computer for them to actually work. Now obviously it's been 10 years, so a lot of advancement, but with all the patches for optimization, now almost all PCs can run the physics to have the mirrors actually act like mirrors. And that, like, they also were trying to figure out water, and so they had a lot of like growing pains with The Sims 4. Like, I will never act like The Sims 4 launched in a state I would have paid for, which I think they got because now it's free to play.
Yeah, it's always. Let's go on, Lucas. Yeah,
I was gonna say, I think it's always scary when like the idea of a new Sims comes up, because as you say, like, finally they've gotten to a point where like people are happy with The Sims 4, and now it's just the fear of like, well, happier, and like it's the fear of like the hard reset of how are they going to fuck up The Sims 5.
Not to mention as well, you've had what, a decade of people adding new content. Mm-hmm. Then you're going to have to go back to basics. Like we mentioned Smash Bros earlier, something myself and you have talked about, Lucas, is we don't want a new Smash Bros game, because how will you ever top what you did with the last one, which has like 80 characters? And it's like one of the most polished things in existence. It's like, you couldn't. So it's always going to be disappointing, because there's absolutely no way to top what they did previously.
I disagree with The Sims 4. You definitely could launch a Sims 5
that with more content.
Would make a lot of people happy. It's not even the more content because, well, The Sims 4 has had an exclusivity issue, a big one, for very long. So if you have a Sims 5 base game that you can actually, people can, without getting custom content or add-on content, actually make a Sim that looks like them, people would love it. You know, I personally don't need the game to be open world because The Sims 3 with Jake is all heck.
The open world seems like so antithetical to what The Sims is. It's a house and then a community. You don't need a town and a city on top of that, I feel.
Like, could they make it work better now? I'm sure, but like, I don't super need it. But certain things that are usually add-ons, like a lot of people don't think that weather seasons should be a pack that you have to pay $50 to get. It's kind of crazy that I paid $50 to have snow and holidays.
They seem like things that should be, if not including the base game, something they do as an event, like a Christmas event of, well, it's a no-brainer at Christmas just to here's 15 Christmas trees and a bunch of Christmas decorations for free. Right?
Seems like a no-brainer to me. Most of the stuff that they add in expansions every time and just rip out the next game to put it back in expansions. It's like, yeah, at this point, those should be like
standard, right?
You know,
like I'm not saying all of it clearly. Like, you know, yeah, pets maybe, like the city one, sure, university, those, yeah, expansions. But there are certain things I think if they just added to like the base build, so you have something that feels like a complete experience. Because when The Sims 4 launched, it did not feel like a complete game because it wasn't. Like they literally took this, online idea and tried to force it into the single player experience because, The Sims franchise is not there's been attempts at multiplayer Sims. I have not enjoyed any of them.
Well, I can't think of any game that is better suited to the single player experience than a simulation game, because a simulation game feels so personal. And the whole point is that you specifically craft your own experience. So interacting with another person's crafted experience just seems like a recipe for disaster.
Yeah. There is a multiplayer mod for The Sims 4, and I have never even thought of exploring it because, I will be in Discord with my friend, and we're all playing The Sims, and we could see each other's screens, but we don't want to,
the parallel play.
Because parallel play works better because, like, all our screens look completely different.
Well, that's the thing is, probably the closest I think that you'd want is maybe your sim can go into someone else's game, but then there's so much opportunity for just trolling and dicking someone over in that sense, right? I remember like there was that Fable game where it's, hey, you can play with your friends, or strangers can walk into your world. It's like, why would I ever turn that on? All they ever do is shoot my dog. Every person who ever came into a game I was playing in Fable 2 just ransacked my house and shot my wife. So I don't need this.
I never had anybody come in. I had it open for... no one ever wanted to play Fables 2 with me. Maybe we didn't have enough people on the American servers. It never worked. But they do have things. So they have Forment was the third to last expansion because they have Lovestruck, which introduces a dating app. So in that dating app, you are looking at other people's Sims they put on the gallery.
That could work. If they did that and they fold that into like Tinder or something of like, hey, do you like this person's Sim?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
That's amazing. That's good.
So you look at that Sim, you see what they look like, and you see what their traits are, and then you could say, oh, I want to date this person. That Sim then gets imported into your game, and then they're walking around. They either get a house or they're walking around, and you could either meet them or you can get a date with them. So that is a way to import people's Sims kind of really organically into your game.
I like that. And I think they should go one step further and make that a dating thing, but I feel the limitations of the sim creation, something that surprised me when you were telling me about it a while ago, is all sims are the same height, right? And some, yes, you have to mod your sim to either, yeah, be under the ground or have like weirdly long legs, don't you, yeah, to be taller or shorter.
What's crazy is, like, so many of my friends, like, that bothers them, and I realize it never bothered me, but I'm also 5'9", so, like, I'm the average height of a man. So, I'm, like, it's, like, everything, that was just my world. My friend, I have one friend who's, like, she's, like, 4'11". She always says she's 5 foot, but she's not. Sorry.
Five Subway sandwiches. We've got a friend who's Subway sandwiches, like, long.
Yeah, like, that's such a huge part of her personality that she, like she needed her sim to be tiny, because, like, that's the world that she inhibits. So, like, I could see why that bothers people, but, like, for me, I'm like, eh.
But I can just imagine on the dating app of, like, all those guys rubbing their hands of, like, every sim's the same height. Oh, yeah, everyone's 6 foot tall in Simlish. Yeah. Let's go.
But I also see, like, it makes it an easier game to build, because, of course, Sim, yeah, 2 and Sim 3, there were height differentials. And it made it so much harder to mod, because you have, like, for your animations, you have to think of the sliding. So how short a sim can be and how tall it can be. You make sure your animation works for that whole spectrum. So when you mod The Sims 4, you know every sim is this height.
They're the same basic skeleton, right?
Yeah.
Which does make sense, but just, that's the kind of thing where if it's going to be a simulation game, that's the kind of minutiae I imagine people want, like, and isn't it a thing people mod in as well? You've mentioned people mod in more hairstyles, they mod in more,
yeah,
options for, like, modifications like tattoos and eye color, hair color, all that sort of thing.
Yeah. So my big thing, like, if I purchase the base game of The Sims, I would not be able to make hair that looks like mine. And, like, I don't have, like, the most kinky, coily, like, this is my hair. Like, it's, I don't, but the fact that, like, there's not a style that looks like my hair. So I would have to then get custom content.
Which feels weird, right? A simulation game where you make yourself and you can't make yourself without mods.
Yeah, literally, they released, like, the making of The Sims for one of the Behind The Sims a couple of years ago, and they showed that what they based the afro texture, the base game afro, on was, like, a cauliflower, like a picture of cauliflower. Now, does black hair look like freaking cauliflower?
I feel as well. You could just bring up a picture of someone with an afro, right?
You would think, right? But no.
I mean,
you would think that, like, there would maybe be somebody on that massive team of people that might have, like, that hair texture anyway, but
just...
Apparently, no. But, you know, that is why I love the Sims modding community. Unfortunately, The Sims is not only on PC, it's on consoles. It needs to be on handhelds. You know, so most of those communities cannot mod the game. They are completely dependent on what developers put out. So for a lot of, you know, console players, they still can't make Sims that look like them. I remember I was making your Sim and you were like, wait, you have to have eyelashes. I'm like, yeah, they don't come with eyelashes. Or, I mean, they have the base game eyelashes, but they don't look like eyelashes. So when I make Sims, I mod in, like, I have a mod that removes the eyelashes, and I put in, like, modded 3D textured eyelashes, because, like, it looks weird without eyelashes. But that's something console players can't do. So they're... Like I said before, there was an inclusion problem in The Sims.
Well, that's one of the weirder things about it. Because myself and Lucas, we always make the joke that between myself, we look dead to camera now, Lucas. Between me and you, we look like every, like, YouTuber. And I have never had a problem creating a character that looks like me, because you need white dude with shaggy brown hair. And I remember
you're
there was a joke.
The Sims 3 box, Carl.
Yeah. And I remember the joke is that for Lucas, like, your creator character always look like you, because there's always the option to have crazy coloured hair. There's always the option for a big bushy beard, and whenever you get glasses, it's always the basic, just black rim glasses.
Mm-hmm.
So between me and you, we never had a problem making like character creators that look like ourselves. So it's a fascinating thing to hear about. That people have to mod in stuff so they can play as themselves in a game about making yourself.
How many mods I have to use to make a sim that actually looks like me? So I have to do right when the game launched, I didn't have to, but then they took away sliders. So I had to put those sliders back in because, you know, I'm Black, I'm Asian, I have a kind of flat face. I had to mod it so I could make a nose that's like flushed and flat. My two-tone lips, gotta have mods for that because that's not in the base game. The fact that, you know, hand different, I had to put a mod in so I have like actual Black looking hands. Just a lot of things we just didn't have.
It's a thing I've heard is if you can, it's a problem or an issue that I wasn't aware of until it's pointed out and now I can't unsee it of. There's a lot of games where the option for darker skin is just the white character model is the base model, and then you just darken the skin, and they're the details that you can immediately notice of they didn't have a Black person making a character that looks like themselves in mind. They just thought make a white person and change the skin tone.
Just the slider goes that way.
It's and very much like here, damn, shut up. Like there's darkies, so shut up. But like you can't actually make a character that looks like your culture because I could have like several dark skinned people and we could all be from very different cultures and we're all gonna look very different. And unfortunately when The Sims 4 launched, you could make a pretty base game white person and make them darker. And the worst part is for several years, the darker swatches for the skin, and they were very limited skin swatches, were like really blotchy and pixelated, and they never fixed them. And then they gave us makeup sliders, so like the makeup will fit more varieties of skin tones. It didn't work with any of the dark patches
because it was never tested. Because they just didn't.
You could tell they just didn't test it. So. There's been some fumbles in The Sims 4 when it comes to inclusivity. Like for, I think it's British Black History Month and American Black Music Month, which is June. They were like, we're going to add this R&B station. None of the artists were actually Black.
No.
Thing is, though, that's a decision made by a bunch of executives and they're all white. Yeah. And that's just funny,
now,
right? Looking at it, it's funny.
Black people. But when it launched,
the fact that they like had to be corrected on that though, and told like that's not something that you would think would need community feedback before you get that right.
They launched a soul and R&B station, no Black artists, but it had white people covering Black songs. It was weird.
Like, specifically to celebrate like Black History Month and stuff, and Black Music Month, like. Yeah, sure.
That inadvertently ends up being so poignant, and it makes a point they probably weren't trying to make of the closest you can get to having your culture and like community represented is white people pretending they know what it is.
And I'm for Island Living, I was like super excited because I'm Caribbean, and you know, obviously it wasn't Caribbean based, it's more like Polynesian, but like I was real hyped for it, and then some of the things I'm like, oh, so they just live in abject poverty? This is the only sim world where all the signs are like, doesn't make me feel too great. Though there were some things like, so for all the Caribbeans out there, so many of us have older family members that will just have a big spoon and a big fork made out of wood. I don't know, but like several of my family members had it. And when they added that in Island Living, I was elated because I was like, finally something for me.
That's one of the great things about gaming, and when they put those things in, or like movies and stuff, I always think to like, there's the picture of like the little girls dressed like Rey, meeting Rey at like Galaxy's Edge in Disneyland. And I just think when all those like weird men online complain, it's like, who's this for? And it's like, well, for the little kid. And hopefully they're going to grow up to not be a shithead like you.
There's like a weirdly specific example of that like going around virally at the moment. Like there's a video of a young girl who has like a birthmark over one of her eyes.
Oh, I saw
this one. Saw like a Todoroki plush.
That's so.
And was just freaking out over how cool Todoroki is because it looks just like her. But yeah.
Let's let me, Luke, yeah. We've never had to struggle because we can make ourselves in a game so easily. And when I hear about this stuff, it shouldn't be funny, but it's funny in that like macabre way of like, just they didn't ask a single person, did they? It was an afterthought, clearly.
Yeah,
and if you ask them about it, they would obviously never say it was an afterthought because why would you ever have that soundbite out there? But you can tell that it is.
And like they've made some missteps, like so they had Snowy Escape, which is based on like a Japanese like mountain town, like tourist town for skiing and that kind of stuff. And they were including some of these like markers, and you're supposed to like it's supposed to be like a cultural thing, but they didn't do their research to find that including that would have been like super offensive to some Koreans and Chinese people because of like the imperial history between Korea, Japan, and China. And a lot of people were like, well, I wouldn't have known. Like they literally had the like Japanese imperial flag, which is kind of like having the Confederate flag.
Mm-hmm. There's a history to it, right?
Yeah, it's a big no-no. And it was like you just had to ask people in the community.
One person. It's the joke me and Luke's always made of like, if you'd have asked or shown it to one person from the group you're representing, they would have been like...
Yeah. But like, it's not all bad because they just had a... holiday thing where they were like, you know, you're supposed to go around and fight about holidays from all over the world. And like when I did it, I expected to learn and not have anything from my culture. But then it was like, oh, we're going to make this dish, which we make for like Korean New Year. So I was like, oh my God, I know that. That's me.
That's like,
and I was kind of, it was like, oh.
That's like the value of The Sims with it being simulation. But I'm now picturing a world where they never do this because obviously the optics would be awful and it would suggest that they didn't mean to include it. But if they did like a skin tone pack.
Well, they like actually if they had like an those update. Mods, they,
no.
They did a base game update. It wasn't for... Which year was it? Because there is a creator who is amazing. I love her. Ebonix. And they usually have this like skin tone pack, which you download. It was a mod. And they, I guess maybe they saw how many people were downloading that. Cause that's literally how I made all my Sims because I couldn't make my skin color in the base game of The Sims.
Which is literally stopping people buying the game, yeah. Right? Like, hey, I can't make myself. Why would I buy this simulation game? It's money on the table.
Yeah. And it's, like, I don't have like a bizarre coloring. Like, I just got like an orangey peanut buttery skin tone. But like the fact that I couldn't really make a sim that was my skin tone, it like got to me to the point that I sought out this skin pack, and a lot of other people did too. And so they did this update where you can make custom skin tones with a slider. So you can have neutral, cool, and warm tones, and you can greatly customize what your character's skin tones look. Unfortunately, a lot of those darker skin tones were still blotchy, and they still have not been fixed. But the fact that I can at least make it now is a grand improvement. Yeah.
It just it feels like one of those things where if there's probably someone in the company that like, we should probably do this, but we can't announce it. Because to announce it means that it's going, the insinuation is that we never thought to include it, which feels, that's presumably the conversation that takes place, right?
Well, what I like that they did, so they have these sim delivery drops where you will just randomly get content in the game. So they don't have to make a big deal out of something that they're adding. So sometimes it'll be like one very small thing that has always plagued The Sims since they abandoned the color wheel is matching swatches. So you'll want to make like a monochrome, like hyper stylistic mansion, but like there'll be four different shades of black and you can't get them to match.
It's like when you put your black jeans on. Okay, my black band t-shirt is a slightly different shade of black to my black jeans. I can't wear this.
Yeah, the quintessential emo problem.
Yeah.
So they actually did a Sims delivery drop where they just added a whole bunch of swatches to a whole bunch of items. So now you can match way more things. So they didn't we fucked up.
I don't really understand the idea of like taking away a color wheel when that's just the easier way to do things.
Yeah, in my head, they need like an eyedropper.
See how unstable The Sims was with that color wheel and how much it caused lag with The Sims 2. It was a great idea to have, you know, you have your patterns, you have everything. But in practice, it just bogs it down, especially when their goal is to have a game that can run on the highest end computer and like the lowest end computer. Yeah. And has to run smoothly on consoles. So they have to assume that The Sims is not the only game you have downloaded on your Xbox, but it still has to run.
I guess, yeah, like just stuff like that, like a color thing for every single. Like a texture in the game would be inordinately expansive. And I guess, like, you know, to end on, we have a couple of sections here, Jayla. Which one do you think we should cover to end on? We have gameplay, building tools, development, music, the modding scene, expansion packs, core games, reception.
Well, we talked extensively on the modding scene.
Okay.
Well, now, there's so many people I could shout out because I love so many people's work. People have made this game so great. We could talk about the music.
Okay, the music's a smaller section because it's just the music for the first game. So the music was composed by Jerry Martin, Mark Russo, Kirk R. Casey, and Dix Bruce, with additional participation from a jazz pianist called John R. Burr for the songs used in the game's build mode. The game's disc contains 37 tracks, 15 of which were published as an official soundtrack album. Most of the tracks contain no vocal. That's the next thing. The Sims is known for its music. And as you mentioned, in later games.
Those classic tracks that were included in that album are on The Sims 4. So you can listen to them on the classic.
Yes.
Instead of playing classical music.
It plays classic Sims music, right?
Yeah.
Well, the thing I like about it is always The Sims is it's a very underappreciated aspect of making music for games is that if you're writing a song, okay, people are going to listen to this song for 3 minutes. But if you're making a song for a game, people might be in build mode for an hour. They need to listen to this track for an hour and either not get bored or not have it be so repetitive where it's distracting. And that must be really difficult to do.
Yeah. And I think so much of The Sims music is so iconic. And like, it's iconic to the point where like, even all the way in The Sims 4, you have modders who have made a mod that just swaps music. So you have like The Sims 1 music experience in The Sims 4. It just downloads all those tracks and switches the build by music, switches the intro music. So when you go into the neighborhood, you hear the ding, ding,
ding, ding, ding. Which is what you need, right? I remember booting it up as well because we had a really crap PC. So you just have that like marimba samba style loading music that'd be like 15 minutes when you heard it cut off. Okay, we can go play Sims.
Yeah. And I do love what The Sims 4 does. So every time there is a expansion pack, the loading music, you get a new random loading music that might play. So when University came out, they made a marching band version of the loading in music. When The Sims Love Struck came out, it was, since it's based, the world that comes at game is based in Mexico. It's like the really pretty, like piano and guitar, like romantic kind of version of the song. So they remix that song for each expansion pack. And every time you load up, you don't know which one you're going to get. And I do look forward to
that. Is an interesting way of doing it. Speaking of music, I did look up that band I mentioned earlier who did the Japanese language covers of emo music, and it is Sunrise Skater Kids, and that is a parody band led by Jared Alonge. And he's done a couple of parody bands, like, for example, he's got Swag Chode, which is a parody band of post-hardcore music. Do you like the hat and the super straightened hair? I would highly recommend them as a musician because their parody songs are so good that I don't listen to the songs he's parodying anymore because they're legit just great songs. And the album's called Emo Taku, which is just a fantastic name for an album, right?
Japanese emo music, because my brother, who is older than me, will, like, he's still stuck in the emo suck, making fun of emos phase. But he listens to anime music, which I will say just is, a lot of it sounds like the same emo music that I listen to. They're just singing it in Japanese.
Oh, yeah. And that's the thing.
Or
I'd invite people to give that album or just one of the songs from it a listen. So again, that's Sunrise Skater Kids Emo Taku. Because it is just, like I said, it's really interesting because you recognize the song, but then, okay, but it's in Japanese, and because it's been Japanese sung with a Valley accent, it does sound quite similar. It's similar, as Lucas mentioned earlier.
Because, like, I would always say, if you listen to, like, Dear Maria Count Me In, sing it in Japanese, it just sounds like the opening to Naruto. Like,
well, oddly enough,
there's not
Dear Maria different. Count Me In is the first song on the album, and he even did an anime opening version.
Because
where it's just
the
chorus in Japanese.
It always sounds like anime music.
Yeah, so the other songs on that album, for anyone curious, are Misery Business, Face Down, I'm Not Okay, and Ocean's Avenue.
Nice.
Wow.
I do want to just ask your opinion on one thing, Jayla. I don't know if you've seen the different sim-looking game, like Inzoi, I think it's called.
So a lot of people have assumed that I'm going to be super into Inzoi just because it's made by a Korean publisher, and I did see it. I was not fortunate enough to really get into the beta. I did get to use the free to use Inzoi Maker, and they have a lot of work to do when it comes to
right.
You can't make I'm not gonna play a simulation game because I can't make my sim have a fat ass, but I'm probably going to play the game that I can make my sim have a fat ass in, you know?
I think most people want to play that game, right? I think there's one thing we've learned from video games, like with Marvel Rivals coming out, is we want more characters with giant fat asses. And there's now, the calls, give more men Venom's cake. Like, why is Venom walking around with a whole damn cake store? Give someone else a slice. Right?
Right. Inzoi, I've seen people make characters. It's very limited, and yes, I know that's not the finished product. I also am not gung-ho about them being so yeehaw about incorporating AI. And,
right.
You know, don't love that. It's theft. And I see the gameplay, there is an inherent goofiness and humor to The Sims that is why I like it.
The fact you can burn down your house.
I can play Second Life.
Yeah. You seem just like, ah! Just okay, sure.
Yeah. when I showed you my, I have a house in The Sims that is all Metal Gear people. Like, I have a save that has all
every
the
now and again, you just send me because your base game they'll turn up, and every now and again I'll get a DM from you Armstrong's at my house party.
Yeah.
And it's just you'll send me a picture
Jet
of like Senator
Sam
Armstrong
stole the cake in my wedding. I think that's hilarious. Or then I think I showed you the picture of Jack when his wife was having a baby, even though I told them that he didn't have a penis. That was a glitch.
Yeah.
That's his little
ride and
babies.
Found a way.
Yeah. And they just do their little animations. It's cute and goofy. So, Inzoi is not cute and goofy.
Yeah.
The charm of The Sims, isn't it? It's I think most people, when it comes to The Sims, they have a story about something that went horribly wrong. Or, some glitch or some bug that happened. The classic one is, the Grim Reaper came to take my sim away, and now he's in my house and he won't leave. That's one that kept happening to a lot of people, right? Or all of the patch notes that send people sighting to orbit, yeah, sometimes meteorites can hit schools, but kids can't leave or they go get sent to military school, so they just stay inside and get hit by the meteor.
Yeah. There's a charm that it kind of feels like the Sims is like the vibe of TikTok, and Inzoi is a vibe of like Instagram. Like, if that makes sense.
Yeah, people trying too hard to look good instead of like owning up to how silly they are.
Yeah, like it's very pretty, but
yeah, that's kind of how it came across my feed. Is like, oh look, this game is The Sims, but it looks so realistic. It's like,
and I was like, I don't want it to be realistic. I literally want.
Yeah, is that why people are playing?
I mod my Sims to make them look even more cartoony. Like, I have a save file that's like a whole bunch of like anime and cartoon people. So like, they have like a huge anime eyes. Like, I don't exactly want them to be super hyper realistic. Like, so there's different ways of modding the Sims. So there's the Maxis Match community, where they use the same like cartoony style that you'll find in the base game. And then there's Alpha Simmers, and those are people who have like photorealistic Sims.
I've seen those, and they look really weird in motion, because it's Uncanny Valley effect, where it's so close to the real person. I recognize that as a person, but there's no life behind their eyes. So like, I'm looking at, like, a person who's really there.
So if you, I have friends who are Alpha Simmers, and like, they have modded their games to the point where they have modded the eyes, so they do have light behind them. It is not for me. I am what you call a Maxis Mix Simmer. So I like it to be cartoony. I like it to be goofy, but the content that I put in might be a little more high poly count than Maxis Match. So it's not exactly Maxis Match, but it's not like hyper photorealistic.
But you can tell when someone's wearing the modded outfits, it's just got more like effects, right? It's like you play any game now.
Also,
it's like premium skins.
I am a stickler for, I don't love seeing English in my game. I want everything to be in Simlish.
Oh, of course.
So yes, sometimes if I download something and it might have like, you know, like a designer logo, I don't want to see Mew Mew. So I'll like go into Photoshop, and then I have the Simlish alphabet, and I'll like try to redo the Mew Mew logo, but put it in Simlish so that there's no English in my game.
That feels like such an obvious collaboration that you reach out. If you're getting someone like a Katy Perry in, you're getting big musicians and names into your game, surely you could get brands to do the same thing of like, hey, do you want to do like a Simlish crossover?
And they have, actually. So The Sims did a collaboration for, I think it's a game pack. It might be a stuff pack, but they did. You got like a fashion photography career, and that was a collaboration with a brand. MAC Cosmetics did.
I've seen that. Yeah, they
collaboration.
Give like free makeup updates, right? And it's their branded makeup.
And didn't work with Black people, which you know. You could also say sometimes for Mac.
I've heard that as well. That's like a thing they have to do, right? They have to have special formulations for dark skin.
Yeah. They have a kit that is, what's the name?
Tom
it's
Ford?
Like a high-end, not Tom Ford. Okay. He does like really good knits and men stuff.
Well, so I don't wear good quality clothes. I won't know.
Well, it's like a high-end fashion house. Tom Thorne, I want to say. I'm probably wrong because I can't remember things. But that was like a very fashion-forward men's / non-binary clothes kit that they did. But modders have had brand deals. Abotix, the goddess of Sims 4 modding, had a brand deal with Dark and Lovely, which you guys probably haven't heard of. It is a black hair care line. So they do like relaxers, but they also do like hair dye. So she did a whole bunch of hairs that are in the colors of the dye, like actually match it.
See, that's a very niche thing, but I reckon if you're a smart brand, or you've got like a smart brand manager, you would have someone pitch something like that. I wanted to go into marketing before I fell ass backwards into content creation. And this is the kind of stuff I adore. Same. Of just, how is there not someone working at The Sims who's just approaching random brands.
There is.
Hopefully they're doing a good job.
So if you go through the history of it, the first brand collaboration, I think, was IKEA. I think they did that before.
Genius. Genius.
So,
right?
Yeah.
Just give us, we're going to give players free furniture and we're just going to put IKEA branding on it, right?
Yeah. Which I, even modders, it's very popular to say, oh, this is based like on IKEA because.
Well, that shark thing right there, one loves.
Back in the 2000s.
The yeah. Oh, the Dungle Scott.
I didn't know. I thought IKEA was hella fancy because it was in The Sims, and that's all I knew of IKEA because it wasn't really big in America yet. So
it's genius.
Yeah, I became a IKEA shopper for life.
Well, the
I wonder
one...
if they put any like Swedish meatballs with horse in there.
They might. You can mod that in, mod the horse in. Because did I tell the story about
well,
Booktooth
they have
Taylor
now?
Right, we told the story about Booktooth Taylor before. Haven't I of my old housemate who was so into The Sims and all she cared about was horses. So all she did was get some horses, and she got this horse expansion, and she got a husband based on her boyfriend, and she got in two jobs, and all he did was work so she could pay for the horses. And while she was on the bathroom, or out of the bathroom, my other friend adopted a baby called Booktooth Taylor that she just left on the lawn because she didn't want it, but then the social services came. And she's like, oh, thank God I got rid of that stupid baby. But then they took all her horses away. And when she tried to go adopt her horses back, they're like, you're not allowed a horse anymore.
That was Sims 2, right?
I think it might have been, yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, speaking I've got one thing. Speaking of merch and collaborations, I forgot that something Sunrise Skater Kids did was this merch. And I think I've been looking to try and buy this officially for ages, but it's out of stock. But I thought I'd send it to you guys just to look. As fans of emo music and all things anime.
Oh dear, I'm not sure. Oh,
that's so adorable.
I've been trying to track that down for ages, and it is the Hayley Williams like Paramore band shot in an anime style.
I don't think I'm able to like look at it without messing up the screen recording.
I think it's been out of stock for ages because the album came out in 2022, and obviously I don't want to go get like a reprint, so I'd like to support the band. But they've also got a My Chemical Romance one of Gerard Way, like an anime villain.
Oh, God.
Oh my God, don't even show it to me because I'm going to end up owning it.
You're going to try and find it, yeah. So
I will. I have...
Then it's because it's called Chemical Devil. Problem. It's Gerard Way as an anime villain called The Chemical. It's such a rad
like
t-shirt,
red...
but it's out of stock. Damn you,
does
Sunrise
have, like,
Skater Kids.
Damn it. That's a good one.
So if anyone out there knows how to get one of those or find one where it's still in stock, I'll buy it.
It's really weird to me as like, and I'm not even an elder emo at this point. I'm like an ancient emo, but...
You were there in the emo lines.
Paramore went on tour with Taylor Swift. Now I can't get any of their stuff.
Because Taylor Swift effect has just stopped getting anything.
I kind of feel like they left the seed into the mainstream and now like their stuff is more expensive. Which, you know, happy for them.
It is.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Hopefully if The Sims goes even more mainstream, I want to see them start putting all sorts of random shit in there.
I mean, I think The Sims franchise, the only thing that makes EA more money is FIFA. So like, I don't know how much more mainstream.
Where's the FIFA cross collaboration? I want to like, Joe, you know that'd be great
they
for?
They had a FIFA cross crop.
I mean the games. Because you always have like the phrase like FIFA widows. Where's the option when the guy's done playing FIFA, his players go back to the house in The Sims that his girlfriend manages? You can make your own
Sims into the football matches.
Yeah, sure, you can make your own player in FIFA. I want you to come off the pitch and go into his Sims house so your girlfriend can look after you.
I feel like that would cause a lot of divorces. Because have you seen the way we play The Sims?
Oh yeah, there's the classic meme, isn't there? Of women just do the most evil things you've seen in video games. Like they'll go into Animal Crossing and create ghettos.
I revealed the worst thing I ever did in The Sims, which I said I felt bad about, and everybody was like, "Oh, how mean I am." But have you seen Brendan Urie's face? Very punchable.
Oh yeah, didn't you make him trap him in your house because he got your daughter pregnant or something, right?
Yeah, he defiled my perfect Sim daughter, which I did without mods, very early on in the draft.
It does, right?
So I had no idea, because she would just like, sometimes I loaded the game and she would just not be on my lot and she'd just be around the world.
She was
so
out.
Like, ah, whatever.
She was out at the club.
Yeah. She was out like befriending pop punk Dick, apparently. And the minute she aged up, he defiled her in a bush and knocked her up.
See, that means The Sims isn't realistic, because if that was like realistic, he'd have done that before she came of age, right?
Well, you can't, thankfully. Even
Brendan Yoni would have. If they want to say this game's realistic.
Also, to bring it like back to a lighter note, yes. I would love it if on FIFA you went to play your next match and it was just like, oh, your custom character is like drowned in a pool, he can't make it to the next game.
His house caught on fire. Or the clown comes on the pitch and makes him just miss the goal. Stands him back at net and cries.
Or, you know, your custom character is being worn like a bracelet if it's in my game, so he is indisposed.
Oh, well, I think like that's a very good note to end it on. Just the sad clown crying so you miss your goals in FIFA. But thank you for joining us, Shayla. We very much enjoyed this conversation. We'd like to plug your content, your links, your socials one last time.
If you want to keep it light and eerie like I did today, you can catch me streaming almost nightly on joystick.tv/blazingbitch, bitch with a Y. I do stream The Sims, but they're adults. And they get into adult situations.
But Senator Armstrong might turn up. He might turn up.
He might. And if you are a fan of human rights, which I hope you are, you can always check out my organization, New Jersey Red Umbrella Alliance, at njrua.org. We are a organization that provides help, mutual aid, and direct services. And to do those things, we do rely on donations. So if you have it, definitely you can do a monthly donation. And it is tax deductible because we are a tax-exempt organization.
Perfect. And yeah, just...
And links will be in the description.
All the links will be found below, yes. And just, yeah.
Thank you guys for having me on.
No problem.
One day
I'll
come in and like actually use my degrees to talk about something serious.
I've always enjoyed the gimmick of bringing you on as a guest. Like the last time you're on Fact Fiend, it's like, oh yeah, a couple of months ago I was at the UN. And I'm like, yeah, but let's talk about Skyrim. Let's go. But perfect. Thank you all for watching.